Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love. Unfortunately, Lana had to rush out at the last minute to deal with a professional issue. Today we're here to talk about global issues. And I know this is very controversial because we tend to deal with our expanded circles include people who are social activists, who I like to think of as guardians or light warriors or other similar labels. And we also work within the life coaching industry with people who are healers and people who are basically light workers, I think. Of course, these are just my definitions, but all people play valid roles within the spiritual community, and we're all equally important, none more important than others. But I guess we're wondering, which path do we choose? And because I often hear our light worker friends say that if you maintain a higher vibration, if you maintain that love vibration and that positive thinking 100% of the time, negative experiences won't happen to you, or somehow the darkness can't enter the light, if we look at it that way, using a law of polarity, and we look at duality, and we start giving meaning to things rather than being non-judgmental and objective about our experiences. And, you know, that leads us into the thinking when something bad does happen, we start thinking to ourselves, why do good things happen to bad people? Why is there pain and suffering in the world? Is it really the school of life? Is it really all about lessons? Or is it just that these things are just unfortunate events in the human experience? Right now we have War Wednesday going on. We've got people looking at what's going on in Russia and Ukraine and Obama. And I know that a lot of our professionals that we deal with don't even want to hear those words. They don't want to label these things that are going on, and they don't want to talk about them. Just like with animal rights, oftentimes we don't want to look at those scary images. It produces fear in us, and a lot of times we prefer not to see them. I often don't like to look at them. Lana tends to, you know, send out those images to just show people what's going on in the world. Many of us already know, and many of us are very active in dealing with it, and some of us prefer to say that just sending out love and light to the world and just being a beacon of light is enough. And in fact, it may be more than enough. It may be more productive than being the problem solver like Lana and I tend to be as a detective and as a doctor, mental health professional, psychotherapist. Lana, I mean. But I don't know. You know, I think it's a personal decision. And I think that we need these positive thinkers to keep supporting us. And their role is as important, if not more important, than the grassroots activism that people are doing to try to put a stop to many of the wrongs in the world. You know, right now we're looking at Obama saying that he wants to send lethal aid to Ukraine, and Putin saying that he'll declare a declaration of war. And these are all very scary things that could potentially have an impact on our personal lives. And, you know, a lot of people that a lot of professionals that I've spoken to are somewhat worried about this. And however, many people say that it's just fear porn, and it's false flags, and it's a lot of propaganda and disinformation, and we need to be careful. And this is all true. Certainly, we need to be careful about what we read and what we hear, and we need to use discernment. And discernment is using all of your senses, your five senses, your higher senses, your intuition, your awareness, to really get to the facts and get to the truth and as accurately as you can, and decide for yourself what might impact you and what might impact the world and what you need to spend your time on, because your time is valuable. We don't have time to deal with all of the issues, so we need to really focus on what's important. So, with that, Lana's just entered the scene. Welcome, Lana Love.
Hello, everybody. As usual, I'm in a rush, but lovely to have you on the show here today, David.
Absolutely. Welcome back. Poor Lana, we just got back, just a side note, we just got back yesterday from the United States. We've been traveling for the past month to launch our new project that we're working on.
A whirlwind tour that was.
That's for sure. Lots of tests and challenges along the way. We were in Dominican Republic, then we were in Boston, we were in Los Angeles and Las Vegas, and encountered all kinds of situations, and we got back and we've got all kinds of situations to deal with now, as everyone does.
So, that's just life, though, isn't it?
That's just life. Life is hard, but it's not that serious because you're going to make it to the finish line, as I like to say.
Absolutely.
Life goes on. As a matter of fact, I just want to continue with one other thing. Last week we had Reverend Mark Lyle, a hospice chaplain, on our show last week to talk about life beyond life. And while we were away, a close friend had a son who actually passed away suddenly at a young age, tragically, and just want to acknowledge that and send out some positive healing and comfort to our friend.
That's right. We love you very much, and we're very sorry for your loss. We're thinking of you and sending out universal soul love to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Life is very precious.
It certainly is.
Very, very precious, which is all the more the reason for talking about what to do in the current crisis. Is there a crisis, David? Some people say there isn't.
I remember I was on, a long time ago, I was on Galactic Connection with Alexander Midas, and we were talking about conspiracy theories, and I said that, and she said, David, I just want to stop you and mention one thing. It's not conspiracy theories. There is a conspiracy. Okay. So same here. There's not just a global issue. There are global issues. But
absolutely.
But how big are they? We've got a global economic crisis. We've got escalating world warfare. We've got...
And in fact, it's more than we know. In the Ukraine, you know, David, they said that 50,000 people had died, but I read the other day, according to Germany, it's actually tenfold that time.
That's right. And so we don't know the truth, and it's very difficult to know what's going on unless you're there firsthand to see what's happening. And I certainly value, the phrase seeing is believing. I like to see evidence. I worked in law for so long that I always question what people say, and I question my own thoughts and feelings about my experiences, because, you know, it's difficult to really know for sure.
So, you know, David, the question is, in what way do we question this? I mean, a lot of people will question whether there really is such a global problem. Maybe we need to question the other way. Is it really okay? Are things maybe much worse than they are? And I'm not wishing to be a fearmongerer, but really, I mean, things are things with Putin and Obama, you know, every day, every hour, things seem to be creeping up more and more towards war. And I think I read that Putin gave the president of Egypt a lovely Kalashnikov rifle. What a lovely present. That makes me very nervous.
And again, that could be fear porn. That could be him really just giving a little show of force and maybe... I don't know, you know, but people will say we've always had wars throughout history. We have wars now everywhere. And so that's true. And therefore, it's possible to have global warfare in any country, even now, not just in some remote Middle East country or in Africa. That can happen anywhere at any time.
So our question is to meditate or to militate. What do we do? Do we ignore the nastiness out there and focus on providing, creating a wonderful world here? Is that going to be safe enough? Or do we actually have to get ready and prepare? Do we have to react to things?
Well, we certainly don't need to react to things. I believe that planning and preparing for any emergency is a response to the things that are happening outside of you.
But some people, David, would say that that's giving in to negativity.
Well, I think
some people would say you should just ignore all of that and focus on positive stuff, and then it won't hurt you.
See, now there's an issue for me. And we're going into metaphysics here. Now, with your personal reality, the things that are your experience, the things that are happening in your mind, your life, if you have a positive state of mind, can negative influences, can bad things happen to you? And I do believe, as within, so without. The things that are happening within you are happening outside of you. So it's true, if you maintain an optimistic outlook, life will probably be better for you. But at the same time, as without, the influences outside of you are affecting you. And so those things will continue to go on, and we can talk about timelines and alternate realities, but this is where we're at, and things are happening for a reason, and those things will impact us, I believe.
Let's talk about alternative realities. Will they impact? I mean, there is a theory that there are lots of alternative realities. Each time you make a decision, apparently the other decision might have also been made in a parallel reality, which I'd love to get into. Each time I have to go to work and I actually want to go on a holiday, I'd love to follow that Lana that supposedly goes on holiday. I mean, you know that theory that I'm talking about, David?
Sure, yep, those are the timelines. Those are every time you make a choice. It's basically that all things in the universe have already happened. All the outcomes are already there, and basically through cause and effect, which I follow very closely, we're pulling in out of the infinite possibilities that are out there. We're pulling in the probability. We're pulling in through cause and effect, through our actions and our behavior and our power of choice. We're pulling in the reality that will become our future.
So then it might follow that if you don't want a global economic crisis or war or all of that, you focus on the reality that you want, and that will be your reality, according to metaphysics.
Okay, but I think maybe that would take a collective effort, the effort of the collective consciousness in order to accomplish that, because I think it takes one person, one warmonger, to really upset the whole balance of everything.
And we're not talking about anyone starting with P, are we? But there are one person can really upset the apple cart.
I think so. Yes. I do think that that's possible.
So why is it not possible then, David, for one person to then improve things?
True enough. I mean, it's easy enough to say with war going on, you can't have peace. If when someone's shooting at you, it's very difficult to have peace.
Well, you could try to meditate.
But yeah, you could. And I don't know that, you know, I've often said that throwing love and light at something that I see as evil does little good, because things that are negative energies tend to manipulate your love against you. I've seen this.
But then again, couldn't you say, David, that you could manipulate negative entities or, in fact, people that have evil goals in mind? With Reiki, they say that if you're in a meeting and you know, things get heated and someone is, you know, trying to plan things against you, then rather than reacting to them, you change the energy subtly with your Reiki, and you can actually change the person's response to you. Now, maybe that's the sort of thing we should do, perhaps as a collective.
We certainly should. I'm an advocate of that. That's about being the beacon of light. That's about being the positive role model and being a leader. And leaders certainly should follow that path, I believe, and that's the path of the light worker. At the same time, I don't know that alone would do it. People will say that. I question that.
Reiki's not going to stop someone who's going towards you with a gun.
Yeah, and also it begs the philosophical question, can a leopard change its spots? And even if it can, just because human beings want it to, should we? Certainly with other human beings, that's possible. We can be vegan. That's our choice. But what about a shark or an alligator or some other meat-eating creature or a snake? Can they change their nature? Should they be vegan? You know, should we stop lions from eating their prey?
I don't know. Can we raise the vibration of sharks? Maybe a vegetarian shark. Turn the carnivores of this world into vegans. That would be good.
Yeah, and when we tend to do this, we think of ourselves as superior beings, that we have because we have this sort of higher intelligence. We believe that we have the right to go about changing everything, that we have the right to change things, bend things according to our will and make things the way we want them rather than just accepting things. And I think this is very different from human beings with some of the warmongers of the past that have caused such death and destruction. I think that you know, human beings are not superior to other life forms, but, you know, we do have a certain amount of choice in how we do things and how we behave. We are driven by our wants and needs, and we are motivated by very primal drives within us. But within our thoughts and feelings, we are able to change our internal programming. And so I think that we do have a responsibility to be the light worker and try to do things the way you just said. And we also have a responsibility, I think, to protect the innocent when we can.
So that's being a spiritual warrior, right?
I do. I do believe in the path of the spiritual warrior.
So what we're saying, David, and for our listeners, we're actually saying that in terms of people of the light, like all of us listening, and you and me and all the people in our spiritual network, you can be a light worker or you can be a spiritual warrior. A light worker will focus on creating the world that they want and raising vibrations. And it sounds like there's a very good place for that.
Absolutely.
But sometimes that's not enough, David. Sometimes you might be forced to be a spiritual warrior.
I do think that it could be enough if we all accepted that, if we had the consensus agreement, you know, if we all accepted that. But when it comes time, when it's not the saints that are coming marching in and it's the soldiers with white guns, and it may be that...
There's nothing more you can do.
No, it's time to respond accordingly, and it's time to put up a defense. I think that's my personal opinion.
What a crazy world we live in. Why is it not possible to just go back in the past, get Putin, you know, teaching to meditate? Apparently he was actually bullied at school as well. He's got quite a lot of psychological problems. But
I think we had this conversation with an Indian man yesterday. We were talking about how, you know, and I worked in the court system with criminal offenders, and I guess, you know, and I do agree, you know, we've had traumatic childhood experiences and past lives probably, and you know, these are the things that drive our thoughts and feelings, and we often pour out our self-hatred on the world by acting it out.
But my fantasy, David, is just to get those people that are so dysfunctional and just sort of heal them, because then we wouldn't have this problem. I mean, holy...
True, very true. But what do you do? I mean, you know, I don't want to be victimized by someone with a knife because they've had traumatic experiences in childhood. That's not okay. You know, the things that happened to you in the past happened in the past, and now is the time to take responsibility for your life and act in a way that's more positive.
But unfortunately, we're going to have to take responsibility for other people's lives as well, other people who are dead set on having war.
I think that's true.
So,
and that does require, I think, a problem-solving approach.
So what do we do, David? I mean, we're really confronting our listeners here, but
yes.
I guess you are known for, you know, being a realist, and I really respect David for that. There's a lot of people who find it very, very frightening to look at the possible realities. Dave is not one of them. And I think... this is a matter of not worrying, but just being prepared,
right,
and taking the steps necessary to, you know, have the least traumatic outcome if things go wrong. So what do we do, David?
Well,
what do you suggest we do?
Someone in our in my past once mentioned, I give her a lot of credit for this, there's a difference between worrying and concern. You can be concerned about situations, but worrying and anxiety have never accomplished much for anyone. But concern does get us motivated to look at the issues. And I've lost a few friends in our network who have gone and come back because they don't want to hear about Ukraine. They don't want to hear about climactic change, and they do believe that if we don't focus on what we don't want, we'll only receive what we do want. We'll only receive the good things in life. And I do believe that it's not appropriate to focus on the problem or dwell on the problem, but rather just to be informed and aware and focus on the solutions, a positive solution.
You know, David,
a positive outcome.
The word aware, I think, is the clincher there. You cannot be aware. You have to be aware in meditation, you know, in any sort of a higher spiritual practice. Awareness is really important. You can't just negate the things that
negative things are happening, but you also have to balance that with seeing the positive, but you have to be a realist. So being aware is really important. We might take a music break now, and then after the music break, we might actually talk about practical ways in which we can be spiritual warriors and balance that with being light workers.
Sounds good. Welcome back to Universal Soul Love.
Woo! I love dancing that music. This is Lana Love.
And this is David Love, your detective.
That is one of the happiest songs I've ever heard.
Yeah, we had our producer was saying he loved this song and it always makes him want to dance.
I love it.
Way to go, Don. So I just want to acknowledge that to the people in our network and in our expanded circles, our light workers and our guardians and our, you know, our healers, our social activists, and the people in the spiritual community who are playing out their roles in this paradigm shift in these difficult times where things are really scary.
And there are so many people like that.
We think you're very courageous. We work with many of you all the time. Just want to give you some credit and some praise for everything that you're doing, and that we appreciate you, and we give you our gratitude, and just we just want you to stay powerful, and thank you for listening if you are. So I think it's important that we look at that. What's really most practical, and it's not philosophy, is that we. It's important to get accurate information, and as we're doing that, to look at the information and not get emotionally absorbed into these events, these scary world events of massacres and the things that seem to be on the horizon, and just really be non-judgmental about it and take it for what it is and accept that these are the things that are happening and decide. Like the Serenity Prayer says, once I've accepted that these things are true and that they're there, what can I do about these things? And that means looking at control, and that means realizing that you can't control the weather, you can't you can't control the politicians and what they're doing.
But there are things that you can control.
Right, and that's certainly your thoughts and emotions, and that means not giving in to fear.
That's very true. So this is a really balanced way of looking at things. You don't deny that there's stuff out there, but you continue doing what you're doing. You continue your life, but you prepare if necessary. It's a really nice balance, isn't it?
That's right. Just like when there's a hurricane coming. I used to work at a police department where I lived, and when hurricanes would come on the East Coast, we'd know in advance that there was going to be a Category 3 or 4 hurricane or a tropical storm or whatever it was. We didn't know what the outcome would be. We just knew from informed sources, from scientists, that the hurricane was coming. And so we would prepare for it. We'd get our our shortwave people ready, and we'd get our emergency personnel ready. We'd have public announcements to let people know where to go, and we'd go out, and when it started to come, we'd evacuate 2 or 3 days in advance, and it always worked out well.
And you know what, David? I guess this is the stuff of life. I mean, things always happen.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, shit happens.
Life happens. Yep, shit happens.
Happens.
Sure, there you go.
And you have to be prepared for it. And, you know, it can actually be character developing, I think. I think it can unveil your true self. In fact, we talk about soul, universal soul love. We talk about the four pillars of what we teach in soul. And the you in the soul stands for unveiling of the true self. And I think it's very much been my experience that when negative things happen, tragedies, it can bring out the most amazing things in people. People can actually find their true self. They can find the courage to do things, and they can actually be changed in a positive way.
It's true. Oftentimes, conflict brings out the best in us. And when I say conflict, I'm talking about all kinds of conflicts with nature, with other people, within ourselves, with illness, with the loss. It challenges our spirit, and it challenges us challenges us to rise above the adversity and overcome it, and that leads to personal growth. And though we don't want to look at it that way, when it's happening, that's usually the outcome. It usually inspires us when we see this happening
Absolutely.
With other people.
Yes.
And so it's important to hold on to that, because that is the good and the bad, and that is the positive outcome, if there is any. And it's important to hang on to your faith.
I guess it's really interesting to talk about the O in soul. The O is oneness. Seeing that we are all one, the idea of having networks, of people sustaining each other, communities coming together, of empathy, being together and helping each other, the community, the oneness, that's something that really helps people in times of need, in times of economic breakdown, in times of war, remembering that we are all one and acting together.
Mm. You're right. You're so right. That's so important to realize that. I think we had an SAS commando on our show way back months ago, and We were talking about the spiritual warrior, and we're talking about how it's very difficult to survive by yourself, even emotionally. You can't do it for very long. We need other people. We are social beings, and we do much better as a group, as a community, and as a society. When we come together, we can overcome the greatest challenges. And because we're all multi-talented and we're all skilled in so many different ways, when we come together, we are so much more powerful as a group, and our talents can be utilized to the greatest possible good when we cooperate and work together. It's very effective, and that's true with the genders. Even with Lana and I, we're much better together than we would be by ourselves.
Well, I guess that brings us to the very first part of our four pillars, S for the spiritual and sensual and connectedness between the sexes, between the feminine and the masculine.
The sacred unity.
The sacred unity of the sacred and masculine, of the masculine and the feminine.
Energies, yes.
That's right. And on the level of partnerships, you know, we talked about community, we talked about people helping each other, but as a partner, having been partners together, we can give ourselves so much strength, and we can be so much stronger, actually stronger than two people. I think it increases your energy tenfold.
Two minds are 1,000 times more powerful than they are alone in creating reality. And you and I certainly saw that when we traveled across the world. We had so much happen to us, and we really had to stick together and hang
we
in
did.
There. And we had a few moments where we were
not so effective together.
Not so effective, but
other moments when we were fantastically effective together.
You know, we
and
had
amazingly so.
We had so many issues come up that I often thought, oh, geez, this is the big one. I don't know how we're going to get through it. You know, money issues and you know, getting to where we needed to be and getting things done.
But we did, and you know, the masculine and the feminine really complements each other.
They
do,
yeah.
Those times.
What was someone came up with a word for that? Instead of twin flame, what was the name of that word? Vibrational complements.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Vibrational complements, absolutely.
I'll give credit to. Well, anyhow, I'll give him credit when I see him, because I can't remember. But
so that's and of course, you know, for same-sex couples, it's equally the same. And it doesn't have to be a romantic union, but people working together with another person, I think, can enhance everything that you do. And certainly in times of difficulty, I think that's very important. I guess going to the last bit of soul, our fourth pillar, life after life, that can be incredibly important in times of conflict or war, because we realize it's actually only life. There is life after life. We do live in a multidimensional universe. And so if things happen, if strife happens, we know that life is temporary anyway, in terms of our human form, but in terms of our spiritual form, we are eternal. And having that context, I think, diminishes the overwhelming stress that can occur when we're faced with life challenges, you know, challenges to, you know, mortal challenges. I think having that perspective that life continues, spiritual life continues after death.
I think you're right. I think we need to really look at the fact that with death and destruction, there's always life, that life goes on. We are infinite beings. And you really have to have faith in this. And I do, we talked about this last week with Reverend Mark Lyle about the idea of accepting our physical mortality and also having faith in our eternal souls as infinite beings and life beyond life.
And I think you can actually do that on a practical level. You know, I don't think it necessarily, I guess, diminishes the significance and the tragedy of loss of life. But if we are in a situation where a lot of lives are lost and, you know, and we are fearful, if we keep in mind the fact that our spirit goes on forever, I do think that it allows us to draw upon energy and hope and puts things into perspective.
It allows us to connect to those higher forces that empower us to get through these difficult times. And you really need to do that. And so these philosophies enable you to do that if you choose to follow these ideas.
So what about if you are, in fact, injured or sick or dying? I guess that same perspective can also strengthen your spirit, can't it, and allow you to carry through to the other side.
People have done it, and that's not to minimize their losses and their illnesses and their physical circumstances is a very difficult. And, you know, I've certainly had my losses, and you have too, Lana, and everyone I know has had some type of trauma or tragedy in their life, and it's difficult to you know, take these ideas, run with them when you're going through something like that, because the grief and sadness can be so profound and overwhelming that it's hard to even get back up on your horse and keep going the way we're telling people to.
But the realization of all of this, I do think gives you strength, whether it gives you strength to carry on or maybe gives you strength to go to the other side. I mean, they say that dying, it's in Buddhist tradition, dying is actually seen as, it's very important to be able to die properly, you know.
To die with dignity, sure.
And not only just dignity, to die with the attitude of non-attachment, to allow whatever has to flow to the other side to happen, you know, not to be attached to your mortal body, to be able to go to the other side with release of all guilt or of any anger, to release all emotions and to actually die in a spiritual way which allows you to, you know, perhaps reincarnate in a more positive way or allows for your spiritual evolution so that even in the face of any calamity, maintaining that, I guess, serenity and that, I guess, meditative, peaceful vibration, if you can, and being able to realize that it's all right, you know, our spirit goes on forever. That's actually considered to be very important.
It is, and that's also an important belief for most mystics, I think. The mystical warrior, the spiritual warrior, takes up that belief that non-attachment to the physical world, and in that way we're empowered to go forward without fear and do what we need to do in the world.
You know, David, I was once watching a wonderful video on the spiritual warrior, and what was talked about there was the fact that the reason the spiritual warrior can go on, the reason a spiritual warrior has so much courage is that a spiritual warrior has actually conquered fear of death. He or she has accepted that death is inevitable, and that just allows you to break free of fear.
I've once said that death is our greatest teacher, and that's because once you've accepted your physical mortality and the truth of your eternal soul, the things in life, the experiences in life that happen to you, these things that we label as negative, no longer have that negative meaning. We no longer give things the good and evil label. We no longer, because we have an understanding of things, we have an understanding of life, and we know that we are giving that meaning to those things, and therefore we detach from them, and we take them as part of our personal growth and as experiences non-judgmentally, and we look at things objectively and we let things go, that doesn't mean that I've never felt sadness and loss and that I still don't, but I know that I can go on. I know that I can let those things go. I'll feel sad as long as I'm sad, but I don't hold on to those thoughts and feelings.
The non-attachment of it.
Right. I know that there's things in front of me that have to be accomplished that I still, that I'm still here to do my mission.
So what we're saying is courage can come from losing or not being attached to fear and just accepting what is and going forward and changing what you can change. And of course, as one very famous person said, Churchill, I think, there is nothing to fear but fear itself, mm-hmm. he said with a cigar. Yeah, and that's very true.
Wise words, yeah. I can't beat that.
You stop fearing fear. Paradoxical, isn't it?
I think you said, we put out a post not too long ago, accept that the fear is there, but don't be frightened of it. And I got some interesting comments back about that. You did. But it's the same thing, saying it in a different way. It has a lot to do with the Serenity Prayer, knowing that the situation is what it is and that it's outside of our control. And so don't put the fear and worry into it. It's there. Now, what can we do about it?
That's right. Now, let's get down to practicalities. What can we do about it?
Okay.
Self-sustainable living. What about, what happens if a country's economy collapses, like it's happening in Venezuela,
right?
Like it's about to happen in Russia? What do we do? What happens if money loses its value altogether?
Well, I know that a lot of people in our expanded circles are doing something about it now. Everything that we need to do is now available to us, and people are actually working on these things. We have the New Earth Project, the Venus Project. We have our friend Comedy with Unified New Earth Sanctuaries, who's been on here, who was a great guest and gave a lot of valuable information to us and passed. Shows.
So there are actually people out there now living a life of a self-sustainable community, which is much more independent than, your usual township or city. It's, electricity, power is produced by means where you don't have to depend on the grid. Things, they use cutting-edge technology that allows everything to be clean. And there are many communities now that are actually completely self-sustainable.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got, we've got Jonah Bolt working on that. We've got many, many Alexandra Meters, many people I can give credit to, who are actively out there promoting these ideas and working on them and trying to manifest them into reality. Just give them a lot of praise for what they're doing. And,
it's a shame they're so far away. Yeah. What do you do if you're far away, though?
Yeah,
what are your options?
Very difficult. Many of us are in situations where we just can't transition. But, it, with conflict and with war, those things happen and they bring about changes in extreme form of conflict. Conflict is an extreme form of change, and oftentimes we need that in order to motivate us to make big changes. Just like where the economy appears to be collapsing in many countries, and perhaps we may be facing a global economic meltdown. I know we don't want to hear that; many of us will deny that, it appears to be true. I don't know; we will see. But there are people like Michael Tellinger, many other people advocating ideas like contributionism and gifting.
Ubuntu, yes.
And so if we didn't have this conflict and this global economic crisis, these ideas would never be manifested, and it would just never happen.
That's right. We've talked about that before, David, haven't we? That in some ways, in order for things to shift, and we have to shift, what we're doing to the earth at the moment is not sustainable.
No.
In order for things to shift, sometimes they have to be destroyed first. So maybe in order to get to a world where things are done properly, maybe there has to be a bit of destruction in order to bring in the new.
And that's why conflict comes up. In order to bring in new ideas, new energy, the established orders, the existing energies, the old stale energies need to be cleared. The space needs to be opened up in order for these new things to manifest.
So what can we do, though, if we don't live near to a self-sustainable community or we can't get to one? I don't know, a lot of people we know actually have, you know, a bit of a plot of land somewhere in the country or maybe another home, and they're starting to plant vegetables and starting to have water tanks and perhaps solar power. And we were wondering whether it's actually a good idea for, you know, look at the idea of oneness and the idea of having a community. Perhaps it's a good idea for people to network and maybe join or pitch in and buy a plot of land with a house or caravan on it and start maybe, you know, on the weekends, you know, experimenting with growing their own veggies, getting enough water, just having perhaps a safe haven that you can go to. Not a bad idea. No. And actually quite interesting.
And it is, and it's fun, and we can do that.
Absolutely. I've never planted anything.
My martial arts teacher told me that you make time for the things that you really want to do. And he did that casually, I think, because a student was once, a student was saying that he couldn't get to his classes because he had personal issues, and that came out. And I think that's a very valuable piece of information. We all have busy lives. Money is an issue for most of us, even for us, Lana and I.
Maybe on the weekends we can do things like that. We can experiment with the idea of self-sustainability, and we can have something to back us up in case things go, you know, sour.
Right.
And you can experiment with growing potatoes and tomatoes. In fact, I have tried to grow in a tomato plant. It did die. I never saw the tomatoes there. But I got some growth, so it's possible. And we're all of us are so far removed from the earth. It's actually quite fun, I think, to experiment with something like that.
It really is. And, you know, I guess it's I guess, you know, you do what you can. And
that's something you can do.
You start reading up on it. You start looking on the internet. You start talking to people about it. If that's all you can do, just a little bit each day.
What about getting a bit of a first aid kit together? Perhaps a few antibiotics and Band-Aids and Dettol and you know, some pain relief and other things. Maybe getting a small first aid kit that you, you know, keep somewhere safe just in case of, you know, in case you need it. Perhaps stocking up on some basic food that will last for a long time.
Maybe, and just very basically, just talk to your friends and family about this.
And having fun while you do it. I mean,
yeah.
It's interesting.
It is.
Practicing survival skills is very interesting.
We did that as a family, you know, in a
way back. It can bring people together.
Yeah, it's very bonding, and you just got to do the very basics to begin with. What would you do if there was an emergency right now in your home or in your community? Any kind of emergency that would require you to act on a moment's notice. Where would you go? Where's your safety zone? Have you gone over this plan? Do you have an escape route? What will you bring with you? Is it ready to go? And I'm not saying that Lana and I have done all of these things. And you know, hey, we're all doing the best we can, and that's all that can be expected. But
you can have part of a room dedicated to stocking up on a few things, and that could be interesting.
Yeah, there are books.
We've certainly started doing that.
Yeah, we have, and there's books and there's groups out there and there's information and there's some good information.
In fact, what David and I have done and the kids have done is we've actually gone out into the wilderness with
SAS come in.
And we've been taken through how to survive and how to put a little sort of hut together, a little stand-to together.
Lean-to.
And we actually managed to build it.
We
were very proud of it, too.
I know, it was fun. I think we put some pictures up. And even on our worldwide trip that we just had, you know, we often had to figure out if we – because we missed a flight because of circumstances that were outside of our control. We had to figure out what to do in that moment, where we were going to go. And some of those situations that we encountered were very difficult and very trying.
Oh, God, stranded without any money. Oh, God.
Yeah, oftentimes, you know, in a foreign country, the banks don't give you access to the money that belongs to you because of security issues and fraud. And so
we've experienced being stuck for a little while, and it's actually quite interesting. And you've got two choices. You can panic or you can put your heads together, maintain your sense of humor. And, you know, just be very creative with your ideas. How do you pull out of this one?
Yeah, and we did that. It was quite a learning experience for us, but yeah. But we accomplished our goals in the trip, and hopefully, you know, we'll be coming out with those things, some new ideas, and we'll be launching a new project with that, and we're looking forward to it. We're certainly hoping that the economy doesn't collapse in the next week or two, and that we don't have an all-out global warfare between NATO and Russia and Ukraine and China. You know, we hope that things will hold out. And we're being optimistic about that, and we do think that, you know, everyone should continue to live their lives and be productive and be happy. Like you said, Lana, don't face your darkness, face your happiness.
But we can't just put our head in the sand. We actually have to be aware with a capital A, that things are changing. It might not collapse all of a sudden. It might collapse in bits and pieces. But our economy is gradually getting down. Global warming is happening. And gradually we have to become more self-sufficient. We have to have strategies, and we have to spend some time on the weekends preparing. That's okay.
I think that's wise advice, because I do question much of what I see and hear, there seems to be enough evidence to suggest that much of this is in fact happening, these big global issues that we're looking at, much of this is true. So let's just keep an eye on things and keep track of it, and be ready to respond as a spiritual warrior, and continue to be the light healer, continue to be a positive role model, and continue to do the things you're doing that contribute positively to the world and make the world a better place.
So we'll be having ongoing talks and dedicating ongoing radio shows to this. And we believe in having fun while you do it. So
yeah,
until
do.
Then, be happy, smile, and from Universal Soul Love,
we
wish you all the best.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.